Let's listen to what the Lord has to say to us through Luke, his disciple. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord. A pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon, or Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and raising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Thanks be to the Lord. This is the word of God. Amen.
Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who has come to dwell with us. We thank you that you are the God who has given us your written word, the Bible, that we might know the truth of you. And God, this morning we ask you to be speaking to us. God, would you open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us? Would you speak to each and every one of us, God, in this place of the wonder of you and what it means for us to follow you, that each of us would walk in relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, there is an old saying, familiarity breeds complacency. And I know for me, this is definitely true when it comes to Christmas, that the familiarity of the story of Christmas means that I become complacent with the fact that God has come to be with his people. I become complacent about this thing because I know the story. Of course God came to be with his people. I mean, this is the most illogically logical thing to me. Why? Because I know the end of the story, that Jesus came to be with us, that he might live the life for us, that he might die on the cross to bear our punishment, that he might rise again, that we might know life in God. So of course, when it comes to Christmas, of course Jesus came. Because we can't have Easter without Christmas. We can't get there. And yet, we lose, and I lose, the wonder of Christmas because I am so familiar with the story. And so to help us think about the wonder of Christmas again this morning, as we think about God with us, I want to take us back to first century Israel this morning. And I want to take us back to that newlywed couple, heavily pregnant with God's Messiah. I mean, can you imagine for a moment what it was like for Mary, this teenager, unwed, engaged to her fiancé, and then an angel comes. Peace be upon you, you who have found favour with the Lord. You will bear God's son. The strangeness of that moment alone would probably be enough to make lots of us run. And yet Mary accepts it. She says, how will it be? All right, the power of God's going to come on me? Cool. All right. And then the feelings of pregnancy hit her. That not so great first trimester, the morning sickness, the belly grows and the side eyes and the questions are spoken and unspoken of her. The conversations that stop as she walks in the room because people have been going, have you heard about Mary? Like, she's pregnant. She's not even married yet. What's going on there? And for Joseph, her fiancé, the questions for him as well. Joseph, you're a good guy. What are you going to do in this situation? Like, well, what have you been up to? Well, we all know. But here they were, carrying God's son. God has come to be with his people. And despite all the side eyes, despite all the questions, the unspoken comments, Mary and Joseph trust in God. And they carry God's son into the world. Why? Because they know that this is no ordinary thing that is happening. That God has promised to be with his people and to be their Messiah, and he is coming to do this. And here is the Messiah who is to come. This is an unusual thing. And we'll focus more on that Christmas day, that first Christmas day tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas on Christmas Day. But we're going to jump ahead a few days right now to about 41 days after the birth of Jesus. We read in our reading that Jesus was taken by Joseph and Mary to Jerusalem, to the temple, to do their purification rites. Now, these rites were commanded by the Lord through Moses, and we can read about them in Leviticus 12. And Joseph and Mary being devout Israelites, people who were looking to love God and love his people, went and did what they did. So 41 days after Jesus' birth, they go up to Jerusalem. And as they're bringing the baby into the temple with their two doves, a sign of their poverty, they are met by a man named Simeon. Now, we learnt about Simeon, we heard about Simeon, that he was righteous and devout. That is, he was a good man who was seeking to follow God. And what else was he doing? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he was waiting for the Messiah to come, the one who was promised to redeem God's people. And he is part of the remnant of people who are looking for this. We also hear that Simeon has been given a promise by God. Or Simeon, you will not die before you see the Messiah. And he's been led by the Holy Spirit to come to the temple that day. And there are Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And Simeon sees them and he knows. This is what we've been waiting for. This is what I've been waiting for. And he goes up to Mary and Joseph and he takes Jesus in his arms. Can you imagine that moment? The promised Messiah, the one you have been looking for, is here. The Holy Spirit has led you into the temple that day. He said, I want you to move and go to the temple. Why? Because something special is happening. And there you are, holding the wonder and the hope of all the nations. Now, this is not like meeting Taylor Swift. This is meeting the very promised one. The one that you as a people and a nation have been waiting over 400 years for. The one who will bring the light to the world. God in human flesh. Now in this moment, Simeon is probably calmer than I would be. Either I would be unable to speak, or I would just be spouting out every which word that I could. Like, this is amazing, I'm holding Jesus, this is cool, awesome, so good. Simeon, righteous and devout and holy man that he is, simply proclaims a song of praise for God. Sovereign God, my master, you've done as you said you would. I am holding in my hands the Messiah, thank you, this is good. I can go now in peace because I have seen the salvation for all peoples, this light to the nations. Thanks, God. Here is a man in this moment who is witnessing God with him. God indeed is with his people. This moment of consolation that they have been looking for is here. This is a crazy moment. Not one that we should become complacent about. But if Simeon in the temple courts was not enough, then we also have Anna, the prophetess. Like Simeon, we see that Anna is a very special person. We hear that Anna has had much struggle in her life. 7 years after she was married, her husband passed away. And so then she lives the rest of her time. Some translations actually have it as she's lived 80 years now after her husband has passed. Maybe she's lived 60 odd years since her husband passed. But what has she been doing? Despite all the suffering that would have been caused and the grief and pain, the reality for a widow in that time that life was hard, she is in the temple courts, constantly fasting and praying and worshipping God. And she would have been known to all those who came into the temple courts. Oh yeah, that's Anna. She's the prophet. Have you heard her story? She lost her husband, but she has been here faithfully witnessing to God and his people all these years. And Anna sees Mary and Joseph and Jesus. She sees this baby, and her response is to tell everyone there who was looking for the hope of Israel and Jerusalem, the restoration that was to come, here he is. This baby is our Messiah. This was a woman who loved God, was proclaiming him to his people. And she's saying in this moment, this is what we are waiting for. This is the wonder. God has not forgotten his people. God is with us. And as we think on Mary and Joseph, on Simeon, on Anna, we could also think about the shepherds. We could think of the Magi coming from the east to worship this king who is born. We could think on Elizabeth, whose baby leaps for joy when Mary comes to visit her. Christmas is an incredible time because it is a reminder that God is with us, that God has come to dwell with his people. And our familiarity should not make us complacent with Christmas and treat it just as another fact. Like the earth goes around the sun once a year. No, Christmas is a marvelous moment for us because God has come to dwell with his people. That in coming to do so, he is reminding us that he is God Almighty, as we talked about last week, that he is El Shaddai, but that he is also God who cares for us and is with us. He is the Lord of hosts, but he is the God who works and redeems his people. And this baby born in a manger who becomes our Savior is a special moment for us because it is God's redeeming his people. This is God with us in every part of our lives, in the good and the bad, in the clean and the messy, when we've got it all together and when we don't. And if we go through Scripture, we see that this is the reality time and again, that God, his call for us is to be with him. And his desire is to be with us. That we can look in Genesis at the very start of creation. God creates man and woman and dwells in the garden with them. And when sin breaks that relationship, God still wants to be with his people. That he is with Abraham. That he is with Isaac and Jacob. That he dwells with his people. That when he calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt, he says, I will be with you. That when Moses passes on and Joshua is leading the people into the promised land, he says, I will be with you. He calls his people back to him time and again. If we look at the prophets, that is what they are doing. Saying, come back to God. God wants to be with you. And there is no greater witness of this than Jesus coming to be with us. And Jesus promised to the disciples as he's preparing to ascend back into heaven after his resurrection is, I will be with you always. And I will give you my Spirit to help you. That the Spirit will be with you to look to me, Jesus, and to help you to live this out. Why? Because God wants to dwell and be with his people. Simeon was in the temple courts waiting for the consolation of Israel. That term consolation is also linked to the word comforter. that Simeon was looking for the redemption of God's people. And God is with his people. And the term comforter is another name for the Holy Spirit at work in us. That we have been given the comfort of Israel. Why? Because God has come to be with his people and he calls us to follow him. So this Christmas, there's not a thing you need to do. There's no do these three things and you will be right with God. What God wants for us this Christmas is to be in relationship with him, to walk with him. Not because we're awesome, but because he is awesome. Not in our strength, but in his strength. And so this morning, I want us to have an opportunity to respond to this. And the response is this. If you want to be in relationship with God, then we're going to have a moment of silence. And in your hearts, all you need to do is say, God, I want to be your friend. I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. I want to know you as the God who is with us. And if you've been on this journey for a long time, awesome. Be reminded of the wonder that God is with us and give thanks to God for him being with us. But let's respond to God by looking to this relationship with him, trusting in him and who he is and what he has done for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God who is with your people, that you call us into relationship, that you want to be in relationship with us, that you want to dwell with your people. God, in this moment of silence that we're about to have, may you draw our hearts to you. May you help us to wonder at your being with us. And may you help us to rest in your love for each of us.